narrow gap. All right. Let's turn tonight. There'll be a few places to go to in time here. Let's start with 1 Corinthians 16 and Psalm 105 to get a start. What did I say? Corinthians? 1 Chronicles 16. And you might as well grab Philippians chapter 3. All right. First of all, 1 Chronicles 16:11. Seek ye the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. And Psalm 105 and verse 4. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. And you can flip over to Philippians and let's pray. Now, Lord, we pray that you might shed some light on some things that may it for some seem mysterious. I don't know, Lord. I got a hold of some things here over some time, and I pray that you might help us to be able to attend unto the things of God here for a little while, and may these things strike home to the hearts. Lord, it's imperative that we walk with thee and find a way unto thy presence. Lord, we know that's through Jesus Christ, and that's elementary for us. Yet at the same time, we do struggle with walking with you and seeking you and apprehending you, Father, and getting a hold of you. We would love, we hear phrasing, get a hold of the hem of his garment and don't let go, that sort of stuff. And sometimes it seems kind of elusive to us. And so I pray you might help us here tonight in this thing. And it's important, the most important thing we have in life is our fellowship with Jesus Christ. And so I pray you might help us in these things, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So you have a take on two verses there. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek his face continually. You know, that may, and we'll go there in a second, express for a Christian the high calling of God in the simplest form. It's just that you're called once you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and he's found you and or you've found him. It's imperative for you then to seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. That's as succinct a way of talking about, I think, the high calling of God as anything else. And the simple words, but it's a rather elusive accomplishment sometimes. So I hope you know that. I'm sure that you do. I wanted you to see Philippians because this is what Paul wrestled with. For instance, he says in verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So Paul's saved. He's an apostle. He's still pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's where it's at. But you'll notice if you had to boil it down, you would have to say that this centered for Paul around verse 9 and 10. And to be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Of course, that's salvation. But beyond that, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Now, Paul's certainly saved, but he said as far as the pursuit of that knowing him, he said that's where I have not apprehended yet. Now, it's quite an admission for the apostle to the Gentiles. And so I wanted to talk to you for a little while here tonight about that. You know, I'd stop and think about it. Israel had their national beginning somewhere around 3,500 years ago, about 1,500 B.C. Abraham was around before that, but as far as nationally is concerned, you'd probably equate the birth of Israel as a nation somewhere around 1,500 B.C. So 3,500 years later, Israel, though most of the admonitions in the Word of God are for Israel to seek His face, seek Him, they have yet to find Him. And really, you stop and consider Jesus Christ, their Messiah, came, God manifest in the flesh and showed Himself to them, Emmanuel, God with us, and so on. And they even rejected Him after He was, they rejected Him after He rose from the dead. It's a remarkable thing that the Lord tells a nation 3,500 years ago to seek Me, and they have yet to find Him. They have yet to find Him. Now, it'll be rectified here soon enough. But it's no small thing. There are 300 to 400 verses in the Word of God that focus on Israel and then me and you seeking the Lord. And I want to talk about some of those things tonight. I want to say, start with, that I didn't find Christ, He found me. And so when He found me, I acknowledged Him and received Him as my Savior. So I'm saved, I'm found, and in that regard you can say, well, I found the Lord, but I'm still called to seek Him. And that has turned out to be, for me, a little bit of an elusive quest. It's not like laser tag. It's not like freeze tag, where hide and seek, where you... somebody goes and hides and you go find them and you put them in handcuffs or laser tag them or whatever and they're found. With the Lord, it's not that definitive. I'm not talking about your salvation now, I'm talking about your fellowship, right? I mean, you have sound fellowship one day, then you find that it slipped away a little bit. The hem of the garment seems to have slipped out of your grasp as you slept, you know? And so there's some things here. I mean, it's ongoing, it's frustrating. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" It's not like you just find Him and the game's over. You found Him for salvation and that part's done and complete. That's great. But your fellowship is something entirely different. And if there is one easy way to express the high calling of God in Christ Jesus for saved people, it's that you're called to seek Him. And so we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. And I mean, we now know in part and prophesy in part, and it just seems kind of incomplete, doesn't it? I bet most of us here sitting tonight are somewhat dissatisfied with our walk with Jesus Christ, how the seeking is going. So there's a couple things I wanted to point out. Again, there's 300 or 400 verses that we could go to, and I just wanted to, there's some points that I've latched onto that mean something to me, and I'm hoping to that they'll mean something to you. Maybe they'll help you. Look, I wanted to show you this first of all. Look in Isaiah 45 real fast. There won't be an awful lot of turning, but we're going to turn a little bit in the Word of God. And in Isaiah 45, there's something that you should that we should establish the boundaries on. In Isaiah chapter 45, if you will. Notice verse 19. And notice the Lord says, "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain." So if the Lord admonishes us to seek, you can take the promise that He's not told us to seek in vain. It says, "I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right." In other words, I wouldn't tell you to seek me if you couldn't find me. Now, here's the caveat. Back in verse 15, notice, "Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel," the Savior. Your fundamental problem is that you have a God that hides Himself. And, I mean, it's the glory of God to conceal a thing. It's the honor of kings to search out a matter. And it's your honor as a king, made a king through Jesus Christ, to seek Him and find Him as best you can. Now look, again, importantly, verse 19. "I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob." Now, I know it's Jacob. I think you understand that you can apply that to you. I said, not unto the seed of Jacob seek ye me in vain. You haven't been admonished to seek God in vain. There's something that's achievable in it. And I want you to keep that in mind for a couple minutes as we develop this. The next passage I need you to go to here real quick is 1 Chronicles 15. 1 Chronicles 15. It is not a vain search. It is somewhat elusive. And it probably doesn't feel like you thought it would feel when you embarked on this journey naively before you really knew the game. In 1 Chronicles 15, if you go down to verse 13, this is simply the place where David sought to bring up the ark to the house of God, and as you know, Uzzah put out his hand to steady it. And it turns out that it was on a cart, which was not supposed to be. They were supposed to carry it. I summarize all that because in verse 13, for because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, killed Uzzah, for that we sought him not after the due order. Notice the seeking. We sought him not after the due order. There is a due order for seeking him. I'm sorry, you don't find him through yoga. Zen Buddhism is not a benefit. If you're monkeying around with New Ageism and Taoism and such, or smoking peyote, that's not how you find him. It's just not. You cannot find him without a Bible. You cannot seek or find him by offering strange fire like those two cats did. You do not go bow before the calf at Bethel and expect to find God. It's just not that way. You can't find him at a rock concert. He will not allow you to search that way. You can search, but you ain't going to find nothing. And so, let me talk to you this tonight. Just seek ye the Lord is the name of the sermon. And like I said, there's 300 or 400 verses involved when you start looking them up, all the seek verses and sought verses and how folks sought wrong and how folks sought right and all those things. But there's a couple of, several things that really have hit home to me the last couple or 3 years, and I wanted to go over some of that with you. There's some insight, I guess. Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. And the first thing that I have to say tonight, if you're not careful, you'll roll your eyes and say, yeah, yeah, I expected to hear that sometime tonight. And I just don't cut me off. Just hang in there. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, and we're going to go down to Enoch in verse 5. Now it says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, I focused on diligently seeking him. And then I got thinking about Enoch. And as you well know, Enoch found God. And, I mean, he was translated, he is our foretype of the rapture. And boy, I'm looking forward to that, and that's all grand and good. So there's some things that are equitable, that are, you know, comparable, that Enoch must have gone through that somehow compares with us. And there's whole sermons on Enoch, and I can't go back through and preach all that. But when I say you need to seek the Lord by faith, you go, yeah, yeah, I knew that, of course, duh. But wait. Look in verse 5. And let's parse this out. I want you to think about this as we go. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. By faith, he was translated. What does that mean? God didn't need faith to translate him. It had to be Enoch's faith, right? By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. God must have told him what he was going to do, like he told you. You know what he told us? He said, "Ye shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, I'm going to change the corruptible into incorruption," and so on and so forth. He must have told Enoch, "Hey, Enoch, I'm going to zap you. I'm going to change you." And, you believe me? And Enoch must have sent something to the effect like Abraham did. "Hey, Abraham, you believe I'm able to give you seed as the stars of heaven from your own loins?" "Well, yeah, Lord." And it must have been something like that for Enoch, because it goes on to say, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God." Okay, so you know that Enoch had faith, and you know that Enoch pleased God. Now, notice the pleasing God, verse 6. "Without faith it is impossible to please him." So I think that backs up what I was saying. I think that the Lord told Enoch what he was going to do and said, "You think I'm going to do that to you?" He said, "Yeah." Right? Wild story, but yeah. In fact, I'm looking forward to it. And so Enoch pleased God because he had faith. Can you see that he pleased God because he believed him? Now that gives you a little insight. If you want to please God, you need to believe what comes out of his mouth. Amen. You need to believe everything he says. You say, "I don't understand that part of the Bible." I don't care. Do you believe it? That's the thing. Now, it goes on from there, because in verse 6, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, I hope that I can explain this right. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Enoch pleased God because he believed him, right? Verse 6, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I hope that you can see there that it's equating more or less believing with seeking. And that's what I would like to get across here. That's why I say don't roll your eyes because it's a cliche that we seek God by faith. Because what we seek God by is believing what he said. And having believed what he said, we please him. And when we believe him, we're seeking him. He said, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Those that believe him, he's a rewarder of them. Now, so that means something. That means that in seeking, that is, in believing, that you have actually achieved something. We always think of seeking as, you know, just, you know, always forward and never really achieving anything. You know, I would just seek and seek and seek. And the Lord said, "Seek my face." And so since I never see him, I just seek and seek and seek. And you think that maybe, you know, there's never any achievement. But that's not really true. Because if believing is seeking, then when you believe, you sought him. And there's something further here. Now look, don't have to run all over the Bible for it. Genesis 5, right? Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Okay, that's an achievement. Enoch walked with God. Did you ever think this? Since it doesn't say Enoch walked with God in Hebrews chapter 11, ever stop to think that the walking, I mean, you hear sermons, and I've heard sermon series on walking with God, how to and how not to, and sometimes it clicks and sometimes it doesn't. Did you ever stop to consider that maybe the walking is in the seeking? That maybe, was there ever an occasion where Enoch says, "Oh boy, I'm walking with God now"? All Enoch was aware of was that he was seeking. You understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that we seek him by faith. And by faith, when you believe God, you're seeking him. And seeking him pleases him. And that's an accomplishment in its own right. And if the walking with God is actually in the seeking, then you've accomplished something. Maybe you stop short of saying, I found him, in the sense of having laser tagged him, grabbed a hold of his hem, and you're never going to turn loose again, because probably tomorrow you're going to have to go through some of the same stuff again. But the fact of the matter is that if the walking is in the seeking, and the seeking is pleasing him as you believe, then brother, every time that you believe God, as impossible as some things may seem, you're walking with him. And you've achieved something, and I might say you found him. Now let me show you some verses here, and I was encouraged by finding these. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Chronicles. I'm trying to say that, you know, it seems like, you know, we walk by faith and not by sight. We it means something to us. It's special, and but it's very plain that we're going to walk by faith and not by sight for the rest of our lives down here until we're raptured. And then we'll realize things, and then we'll have it in our grasp. But if believing him is seeking him, and that's the end result, if seeking him is something that pleases him, then haven't you accomplished something? It's not like you never accomplish anything by what I'm talking about tonight. For instance, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, see if you can see it here. Took me a couple times, some time thinking about it before I got it. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Notice verse 5, this is King Uzziah, was a good king in general. And verse 5, he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, seeking him, he sought him, God made him prosper. Well, his seeking accomplished something. God made him prosper. Who's to say that he didn't find God? Maybe he just didn't know it. What I'm saying is that Enoch walked with God because he believed him, right? Now, did Enoch ever realize that he walked with God? I mean, I'm sure that Adam knew when he was walking with God, the Lord walked through in the cool of the day and Adam walked beside him. I know that he knew. Maybe Noah knew, but did Enoch ever know? I mean, Enoch is our foretype. Are you conscious when you walk with God? How do you know when you've finally achieved it? What I'm pressing forth tonight is that when you believe what he says, you've sought him. And having sought him, you've pleased him because you've achieved something by believing him. And so in this passage, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. So he prospered him for seeking. Isn't that an accomplishment? Let me show you another verse and see if we can get closer to it. Look in Psalm 70. Psalm 70. Psalm 70, and notice verse 4. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Okay, look at it carefully. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Just looking for him, does that sound like much of an enjoyable proposition? But what if in looking for him, in seeking him, by faith, believing every word, what if that is what we're supposed to accomplish? You're never going to see him until the rapture. You're never going to see him. You're never going to experience him physically until you're before him. So what is the ultimate in the Christian experience? Seeking him by faith. By faith, you please him. And he's pleased because you've accomplished something. You've accomplished what most of the rest of the world never accomplishes. And I would make the case that you walk with God when you believe him, like Enoch. I want to show you Psalm 9. Maybe this is even clearer. Psalms 9. Now, just remember the promise back from Isaiah 45. He said, I said not to seek ye me in vain. indicating that when I told you to seek me, I was going to give you the opportunity to find me. And I don't just mean for salvation. I'm going to give you the opportunity to find me. I didn't tell you to seek me in vain. I'm making the case that when you believe God, as impossible as some things seem, as impossible as a rapture seems, by which we all get out of here with new bodies and all that stuff, it's just kind of mind-boggling when you stop and think about what you really believe. I want to just make the point that he didn't say, seek ye me in vain. You've accomplished something by believing him. Look in, Psalms 9. It's a little easier to see here. Notice verse 10, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Can you see there that the seeking and the trusting are comparable, that the trusting is the seeking? Isn't that an accomplishment? And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Trusting him is seeking him. And he rewards those that diligently believe on him and seek him because it pleases him. I'm making the case that when you walk by faith, and I mean you believe every word of the book, that he's pleased by that. You've accomplished something. If it's not exactly proper to say that you found him, he's pleased by it, and you've done what Enoch did. You walked with God. Now, so first of all, seek ye the Lord by faith. Now, notice Isaiah chapter 55, seek ye the Lord by faith. Let's change gears a little bit. Isaiah 55, everybody knows these verses. You cite them. Probably before I can get to them, Isaiah 55, and notice verse 6. All right, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. We always apply it to salvation. There will come a day, you know, when you don't get a chance and when the Lord shuts it down and you can't get saved. But seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. I would say this, seek ye the Lord now. And the reason I say now is because the Bible says that Adam could hear the Lord's voice walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And if that means what I think it means, I mean, the Lord came and stood before Adam after he had fallen and talked to him. That would indicate that the Lord and Adam walked through the garden perhaps together before Adam's fall. As it turns out, because of Adam's fall, Adam didn't have that long to walk with the Lord in that way. And there came a day really quickly that that relationship shut down in the way it had always been. You better seek him now the way he's given you to seek him. Again, think about Noah. Noah walked with God. No man was ever commissioned like Noah to build an ark with he and his four sons. And during that time, he walked with God. He found grace in the eyes of the Lord, but he walked with God. And no man ever since that time has been commissioned with quite such a project. And so in that regard, no man ever since Noah could seek God in quite the way that Noah could seek God. That is no longer possible, no more. There came a day for Abraham. And Abraham was turned around, and the Lord was suddenly at his fire in Mamre outside the tent. And he said, I just stopped by to talk to you for a while. As it turns out, he showed him some things and talked to him, and Abraham dickered him down, you know, Jewed him down about how many folks, if he should find righteous in Sodom, it would be before he would let Sodom off the hook. But there haven't been that many people that have actually had the opportunity to set across a fire from God Almighty, much less the Trinity, those three men. You see, that's not possible anymore. Abraham had a chance to seek God on Moriah in a way that none of the rest of us ever shall. I mean, really? Take Isaac thy son up that I gave you, the son of promise, and kill him, sacrifice him, and Abraham's willing to do it? None of the rest of us could ever have walked with God quite that way. That those doors are closed. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Abraham had opportunity to find him that day in that way only one time. Noah had opportunity to find God in that day in the way of building the ark as only that day was. There's never been anybody else that ever had the chance like that. Think about Israel in the wilderness and then down on Sinai and being delivered with a deliverance that nobody's ever seen anything like, with folks walking through the Red Sea on dry ground and then getting down to Sinai and that mountain thundering and lightning and just shuddering with noise and light and lightning and thunder and all those things. And then Israel goes on out into the wilderness and out into the land, and there God feeds them with manna and feeds them and waters them with water from a rock and works one miracle after another. Their shoes didn't even wear out. In that brief time that was the case, they had an opportunity to seek God that way. And nobody else has ever had a chance to seek God that way. We learn lessons from it. They're our examples, I'll grant you that, but nobody's ever had a chance to walk with God that way. Now you think about Christ's day. Those very brief 30 years and really 3.5 years of ministry where those guys were called out. There were 12 of them, then some added disciples as well. And I mean, they literally got a chance to follow Jesus Christ around and put their feet into the very footprints of Jesus Christ as he walked in front of them. Got a chance to sit across the fire from him, had a chance to hear his very voice utter words. And for that 3.5 years, that was fine, but better seek ye the Lord while he may be found that way. Because after 3.5 years, nobody else has ever had a chance like that again. And so you say, well, how should I seek the Lord? Well, seek him now. Seek him the way he's given you to seek him, by faith. You've been given a new birth. You've been, if you're saved, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God till the day of redemption. You've been given a circumcision made without hand. You're seated in heavenly places with him in Christ Jesus right now. You're complete right now. You're crucified with him. The world's crucified unto you. The law's crucified. I mean, you have a chance. You have a chance to seek God in a way that Abraham never did, because Abraham didn't have those things. You have a chance to seek God in a way that Noah never did. And even though he had a unique opportunity, his opportunity is not equal to yours. I mean, you have an opportunity to know that you are saved and to know that no matter how badly you fail in this adventure, that you're still saved and a child of God. It's not everybody that's had those guarantees. You should make the best of it. You should seek God now. According to these rules of this dispensation, of this time, we walk by faith and not by sight. Israel got a chance to walk by sight and some sight and some faith. You get to walk by faith and not by sight. You don't see a thing. It's all by faith. It's just like we said from the beginning here, you need to seek him by faith. Seek him now. Because there's coming a day that this window will close, and then somebody's going to have to flee to the wilderness, and there God will plead with them face to face. They'll be brought under the bond of the covenant, and sure, he'll allure Israel out into the wilderness, but it's not going to be like now. And so the window's closing. You should seek God now the way he's given you to seek him, because the judgment seat of Christ is the next stop. This is your one shot. This is your one opportunity. You won't get a chance to go to the judgment seat of Christ and say, rewind, I'd like another try. It's not like a video game. You know, oop, I got killed early. I'll go see if I can. I'll just revive myself and start the game over and reboot, and we'll do it again until I finally kill my enemy. You don't get to do that. You have one shot. One shot, and that's it. So seek him now. Now, verse 6 again. We've said, seek ye the Lord by faith. Seek him now. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. So, seek ye the Lord, call upon him. Maybe you're satisfied with your prayer life. Maybe you're not. If you're like me, you're not really. Pray anyway. Call upon him. Pray. You say, but I don't pray well. Well, get up in the morning and pray better. But you're called to walk with him, to seek him. You're going to have to call on him. So call on him. Look in Psalm 63. Cultivate a prayer life. Call on him. I'm just not very good at it. We'll try harder tomorrow. Wouldn't it be embarrassing to get up there and find that you've hardly spoken to your father? It'll be an embarrassing situation for the relationship. So call. Seek ye the Lord, call upon him. Call now. Walk by faith now. Look in Psalm 63, and since I was preaching, I didn't get there. Psalm 63:1. A couple of these things are short. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Seek ye the Lord early. Seek him early. Early in the day is good. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. He shall hear my voice. Early in the day is good. You say it's impossible for me to pray early in the day because I have to get up at 3 in the morning to go to work. I get it. I understand. But it's good to pray as early in life as possible. It's good to seek him as early as you can in life. Now, everybody, you know, knows, you know, everybody, you know, if you're 4 years old or 6 years old, learn to walk with God. It's good to start early. But most kids are kids, and at 4 or 6, they may get saved. But at 4 or 6 or 7, they probably don't have an extraordinary depth of relationship with God. But by the time you're 13 or 14 or 15, you have fewer excuses because you're not a kid anymore. You're not a little kid anymore, okay? You're coming upon adulthood, and whatever else is the case, there are some adult things happening in your brain and in your body. The earlier you seek, the better. The earlier in life that you seek, the better. The earlier in trouble you seek him, the better. When you see it coming and you know that, you know, the trial is almost here, it's early to start as quickly. It is good to start as quickly as possible, as early as possible in trouble to seek him. As early as he blesses you, as early in victory as possible, you should seek him. Just start early in everything. Now, by early, you got to be careful because it shouldn't get too late. Look in Proverbs chapter 1 real fast. Proverbs 1. Because in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 22, the Lord is essentially admonishing men to seek him. How long, verse 22, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. Now, where I'm going to end up with this is down in verse 28, where he says, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, just not early enough. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And you need to start early. You need to start before certain things set in. You need to make sure that you start when he calls in 1:24, because I've called and you refuse. Don't refuse. When he calls, respond. You'll note in verse 24 again, it says, because I've called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. When he stretches out his hand, regard. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How could you not go? It's not good. If you wait too long, you might get up early in the morning one day and he says, I ain't interested. Because you didn't start early enough. You should have started when he called. You should have started when he stretched out his hand. Notice down in verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel. When he counsels, you should start early with receiving the counsel. Because these folks didn't. You have set at naught all my counsel. That's why I say early in life is good. By the time there's some teenagers that are hard at 15 or 16. You live in a very hardened day, and you normally think of kids and young teenagers as being relatively tender, although troublesome as they grow up and have to deal with all the stuff they deal with. But the fact of the matter is there are some hardened sinners by 16 or 18, for sure. You should have started earlier. Because he gave you counsel, verse 25, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, you would none of my reproof. When he tried to correct you, when he put the red mark on your paper, when he said that's wrong, change, you set it at naught. And so in doing so, if you're not careful, even though when there may come a day when you get up early and say, oh God, help me, I'm up early, he says, not early enough. Not early enough. Start early. Seek ye the Lord by faith now. Call. Seek ye the Lord early. Look, if you will, in Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. Some people misread these verses. Verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. There's no famine for the words of the Lord. There's a famine for hearing. It says in verse 12, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. There are folks that are running around now still looking for originals. They're still looking for the oldest and bestest manuscripts. They would do a double flip if they could find some stinking rotten scroll somewhere that was older than any other scroll anybody had ever found. They would think they had achieved something. And they've achieved nothing. They run to and fro seeking to find the words of the Lord, but somehow they've fallen down because the issue was never finding it. The issue has always been hearing it. For instance, let me take you to Deuteronomy 30 for a second. It's a good place to go. Brother Jeff has a testimony about this one, as I recall, right? But Deuteronomy 30. Next time somebody shows up and says, the only perfect word of God is the one in heaven. Right? I mean, thy word is settled in heaven. And it is, and I'm glad for that. I don't have a question with the fact that there will be a perfect word in heaven, but that's not the only place that a perfect word is. Look, if you will, down in Deuteronomy chapter 30, go down to verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It's funny when some people talk about the Bible, it's never a Bible they have on the pulpit. It's always an esoteric Bible, a theoretical Bible out there. And it says in verse 12, it is not in heaven, that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea, that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. How often have you sought for an answer to some spiritual problem, and you found that you had the verse memorized already? You just had kind of forgotten it. You were looking for answers out there, and the answers are here. Or here, even. You say, what's the point? Listen. The famine is not for the Word of God. The famine is for hearing it. Half the problem right now is folks are not interested in hearing. The time will come then they will not endure sound doctrine. Half the problem today is there are things that folks don't want to hear. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. You know that. He that hath ears to hear, said the Lord, let him hear. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. He said, I gave you these words so that you might know the certainty of these words. Listen. The title is Seek Ye the Lord. You seek the Lord by listening. Notice another passage or two here before we move on, close down tonight. Look in Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. And while you're finding Exodus 33, go ahead and find Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Seek ye the Lord by faith. I mean, brother, believe anything that comes out of his mouth. And if you'll believe every word that comes out of his mouth, you will have accomplished something. You will have pleased him because you will have believed him. And it just might be that that is walking with God. I'd like to say, seek ye the Lord by faith. Seek ye the Lord now. Call upon him. Seek him early. Listen. And then there's this, Exodus 33. And as you know at this point, Exodus 32 is where the Lord, Moses comes down and smites the children of Israel because they've made a golden calf and all that kind of stuff. All that stuff happens in verse 7. It says, and Moses took the tabernacle and pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone which sought the Lord went out into the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. He emphasizes without the camp. You'll notice back in verse 5, the Lord said, for the Lord said unto Moses, say unto the children of Israel, you're a stiff-necked people. So the tabernacle where folks had to resort to seek the Lord, they had to leave camp. And they had to go, they had to leave a camp of stiff-necked, stubborn, haughty, proud, educated people. Folks that would not hear, folks that would not listen. The Lord's continuing complaint was, this is a stiff-necked people. You will have to put aside your pride. If you need to apologize, apologize. You need to go without the camp and seek him. But it's without the camp. It's separate. You'll have to seek him separate from some things. Separate from the stiff necks of verse 5. Separate from the crowd. Separate from the majority. Don't look now, but most people wouldn't care to be here tonight. You like it, but most people don't care to be here tonight. There's a reason. Because they're the majority. And they like doing things with the rest of the herd. And one thing that you have to learn in seeking the Lord is you can't run with the herd. It's just not a majority. It's not a popular thing. You'll have to separate yourself from popular opinion. There's an application here from Hebrews 13. Notice Hebrews 13 and verse 10. The little panty waist cupcake megachurch Christians who enjoy their rock and roll and they think that they've sought God. They didn't seek God. They're not separate at all. Lord's not interested in a lot of that stuff. And he's not interested in having anybody find him that's seeking him that way. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Now, not only are the stiff-necked in camp and you need to leave camp to get away from the stiff, proud, haughty, majority crowd. But there's something else that's outside the camp, and that's where the bodies and the dung and the guts of the beasts that were sacrificed for the altar, that's where they're taken out and burned. By the way, you learn from Leviticus that without the camp is where the lepers abide. And without the camp is where the unclean are. And without the camp is out, you know, beyond respectability. And it says even so far in verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. See, it's a reproachful place in the place where God can be sought. God honors that. But he doesn't like a lot of self-satisfied people sitting around thinking they've achieved something. I just want to say that if you're going to seek him, you need to seek him separately. You say, are we separate? Well, not too many folks like us. I know this. We're preaching the Word of God, which is better than a lot of churches do, right? We believe the Word of God, which is better than a lot of churches do. You know what you need? You need to seek God separately. You need to quit worrying about what you're missing, not being in a bigger church with a bigger youth group and a bigger old folks group and more singles and more of this and more fun and more of that and somebody that has a gym, for goodness sake. You need to seek him separate. I'd like to point out one other thing here. In 1 Chronicles 22, you're almost down. You don't have to turn too much more. 1 Chronicles 22. We have said, seek the Lord by faith. Hopefully that means more to you than just rolling off your tongue now. Seek him now. Call upon him. Seek him early. Seek him by listening. Seek him separate. And then in 1 Chronicles chapter 22, go down to verse 19. 1 Chronicles 22:19. David is giving the final directions that he gives to Solomon about some things. And it says in verse 19, now, set your heart and your soul and seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God unto the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. He said, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise and build. I would like to say, if you're going to seek the Lord, build. You say, how does that apply? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Build. Most folks that are seeking God, or say they are not conscious, I think, that they're supposed to be building. They don't have much concept of it. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, go down, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and notice verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Bible says that he's building us collectively a holy temple in the Lord, right? But notice verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereupon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And that's your salvation. You begin with your salvation and your call to build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Every man is called to build. How do you build? You build a precept upon precept. You build a line upon line. here a little, there a little. And verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, judgment seat of Christ, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every single man's work of what sort it is. If you want to seek the Lord, I tell you what you better do. He said to Solomon, he said, arise, seek the Lord, and build. Our application is, you have found Jesus Christ, brother, build. It says in verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. A unique position. We get to build. Our salvation's complete. Our salvation is utterly secure. You can't mess that up. In the meantime, we're called to build. It's possible that what you build will fail and be burnt because you don't build on the foundation. But what an opportunity that you have a chance to seek God by building, that you actually have a chance to accomplish something for God by building. You seek Him by building. Your family, your personal private doctrine, trying to win somebody to Christ, a holy life, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You have an opportunity to build, and one day we all get up there and we get our work tried of what sort it is, and you get to see how well you built on the foundation. And at no cost to you in the sense of your salvation, but you could have wasted your Christian life if you've not sought Him. If you want to seek Him, build. Build upon the foundation. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Here a little, there a little. You don't have to do anything extraordinary. The judgment is about what sort, not how big, not how massive, not how thick, not how tall, not how majestic. The issue is of what sort. Remember that guy a few weeks back, I think I preached about it, where this fellow is building in that wall in Nehemiah's day, and all the rest of the guys, they built here from here to here and fixed that, and built here to here and fixed that. And this guy, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, but he repaired earnestly. Lord pays attention to things that you don't think of. And He's going to pay attention to what sort of building you're building. Seek the Lord that way. Seek Him by faith. Seek Him now. Call upon Him. You can't get by without prayer. Call upon Him. Early. Listen. Right? Seek Him separately. And build. Let's bow our heads and pray.